Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back to another episode of 24 Hours to Hell and Back. Tonight, we're breaking down episode Shanty on 19th. We have an alcoholic owner. We've got all kinds of drama. We've got before the renovation, after the renovation, all that and more. So stay tuned. Episode starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah. This makes me hungry.
Yes, it does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another hell song.
Drive through to hell.
Drive. I don't know. We should write our own song.
Yeah.
Drive through to hell. Welcome back to another episode of 24 Hours to Hell and Back. Tonight, we're talking about Shanty on 19th. That is a fun restaurant in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which I know you both had said you were very familiar with. I am not, so you'll have to share a little bit about the Lower Garden District, I believe is where it was. I'm excited to jump into all of that. We have a really fun special segment, reviews, and more. We're going to see how the restaurant is doing now. We're going to check out some of the Yelp reviews. It's always really fun. And we've got a lot of drama this episode, which I know that we were kind of missing in the last episode. So that's going to be really exciting. However, before I jump into all of that fun stuff, let me introduce my lovely panel. Tonight, we're joined by Alice Ford.
Hey guys, I'm super excited to be discussing this episode. It was really, really funny, I thought. And yeah, I've been to Allentown before too. I used to go to summer camp right around the corner. So we'll get into that in
Yay.
A little bit.
Thank you so much for joining us. And back again, as usual, we're joined by Mike Thieling.
Yo, I love Gordon Ramsay yelling at people. He didn't yell as much as I wanted him to this episode.
You're
but that's
right.
Okay.
But there was other
that's
yelling.
Right.
There
yeah.
was other
there
yelling.
There was other
in this
yelling
episode.
To take up for. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gordon finally submitted that he found somebody that curses more than him.
Oh my gosh, you're
good
right.
Good job, Kennedy.
She the has cook. The crown.
Quite the sailor.
Yeah, speaking of Kennedy, so Kennedy was our head chef in this episode, and there was a lot of drama between Kennedy and Joe Sr., who is the owner, Joe's father. And he was there, I guess, to kind of help out. What did you guys think of that whole debacle?
I mean, I guess you can see why Joe Jr. had such a problem with control and ego. I mean, just look at how his dad was.
But it's passed down.
What yes. an a-hole. I mean, good lord.
Good way to put it.
I mean, just like, and just disgusting also.
Right.
Like, ugh, like.
I mean,
know.
You could see. This guy had, Joe Jr., right, has big aspirations. We can tell. He's said he's made a lot of money for other restaurants in the past. So he's obviously, at least for once, we have an owner that's got cred in the industry.
True.
Right? So that, yeah. at least he's got that going for him. He buys a restaurant and it just goes to pot right away. And uh-huh. because he can't afford hiring anybody, you kind of do what you do. You bring your family in. But his dad is not. The right person. His dad obviously has no skills in a restaurant or demeanor working with staff.
Well, he also seemed like he had zero, he wasn't being helpful at all. He was just there, not really doing anything. He's tasting food. It's falling out of his mouth back
that
into
was amazing.
The bowl.
That was amazing. Like, does the FDA watch this show?
Right?
Do they have anything to do with restaurants? I don't even know.
Like,
does some regulatory agency watch this show and they're like,
totally.
Yeah, that's probably not going to change in 24 hours.
Okay, when we check the Yelp, we have to, because on Yelp, the health rating is available.
That is true.
We have to check the health rating because I need to know when we get, and I work in a restaurant, I said this last episode, sorry. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, I also still currently work in a restaurant, and I've been there when they come in to check the health code. I mean, they're checking everything. If you have a dirty rag out, if you have cream that's not sitting in enough ice, like, you get cited.
And people can call the health department as well and be like, report you, and then they just come basically unannounced.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that has not
happened. The
health
department, that's right, not FDA. So, but here's a perfect example. You're saying how surgical the health department is with it. How can
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The bottom of Joe's stove. How could that ever pass muster whatsoever?
I know.
How could any of these places, for that matter, pass? And wouldn't it be an instant fail?
It has to be. They have to have. You're right. You would think an instant fail. Whenever I see restaurants with under an A, though, I'm so weary. There's this one place right down the street from me that I ate at once, and now it's got a C rating. And that's, like, terrifying to
and
me.
And then you wonder, like, what did they fail?
You can see all of that. Yeah, no. And so he clearly has, Joe Sr. clearly has zero experience in any restaurant. And he's just not being constructive or helpful. He's just stirring up a lot of drama within the staff. And it was clearly freaking poor Kennedy out, who has a heart condition, by the way.
Yeah.
She should not be
chef with
stressed.
A heart condition. That's a rough
one.
Well,
especially
one
that just yells
job.
And screams.
Yeah, and she wasn't helping herself out no. whatsoever at all. But it's all, I feel like all of this comes back at the end of the day to the owner.
Yeah,
I feel like Joe Jr. needs to set the tone for his business, for his restaurant. If he puts his foot down and the chef doesn't need to be shouting and his dad is screwing up, whatever. But he's so passive. He's doing more work drinking behind the bar than actually managing or running his restaurant.
And that brings us to the next point, the alcoholic owner. I mean, he was just sitting there, it's just knocking back straight glasses of straight liquor.
Yeah. Whiskey or something.
It looks like something. And beer is just constantly. I wonder, and they didn't show any of this, and I'm kind of sad that they didn't. I wonder if he spends any time just physically and visually inebriated in front of guests and staff.
I'm sure at some point he has. Yeah. It'd be impossible for it to not happen.
And I'm sure that the yelling back and forth to the kitchen only escalates as he gets drunker. You know, I mean, that was like true. A whole other thing.
And also remember, when we're watching this, everything on television appears, all rooms appear bigger. So sets all appear huge. Like if you look at Jeopardy or Price is Right, it looks massive. They're not that big rooms they're in. So that means that this restaurant is actually on the smaller side for them to be screaming and shouting to an open kitchen right there.
Well, you remember that one scene where they were screaming and shouting in the open kitchen and everybody was like,
yeah,
like looking around him. The entire dining room heard it.
And the waitress apologized saying that the chef is under a lot of stress. If I'm a diner, I'm like, what? Okay, so please don't cook my food.
I don't think I've ever been to a restaurant and experienced yelling and screaming.
No, not like that. Absolutely not.
I mean, I'm one of those people that to me it would just be very amusing for one time.
Yeah.
But that's not something that you want to get all the time. And for a lot of people, they want a quiet night away. And we also need to remember, too, that this restaurant is technically fine dining.
But that's only from legacy, right? Because Joe has all of his experience, admittedly, from himself in sports bars.
Right, yes. And that's what it looks like now.
Exactly.
Or
that's what it was
before Gordon came in.
Exactly. And that definitely doesn't help when that's not your area of expertise. And again, that also showed with the menu, which was giant.
90 items.
Yes, it was so huge. And speaking of a lot of items and menus and variety for all. Mike has a special announcement for you all.
Oh, actually, Alice has a special announcement for you guys.
It's going to be a much nicer voice. Here I go.
Yeah, we want to talk to you guys about all of our other after shows. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve TV fans than us here at AfterBuzz. But you know what? We need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help us at AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't worry, because they're optional. You have the power to turn them on or off. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now for this channel and check out our other channels as well. And let us know in the comment section, and we'll thank you on the air. So thanks so much for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of Talk TV.
We thank you right now.
Yes, thank you so much, Alice. And also, we are on Spotify and iTunes as well. Head over to iTunes, give give us a 5-star rating because stars 1 through 4 just do not work.
That's right.
And check us out on Spotify as well. Give us a comment. We'll give you guys a shout out. And we really appreciate you guys so much that, you know, watch us while we do these wonderful things that we love to do.
And speaking of shouting out, the last thing I think we need to hit on before we get into Gordon unmasking his amazing hockey disguise that the whole drinking and everything with the restaurant, huge strain on Joe's marriage.
Oh, big time.
Absolutely.
And that, again, if you're saying Joe is where the whole is the epicenter of the restaurant and its success, obviously the epicenter of that is going to be his home life.
Right.
Which is just becoming ruined.
Well, and it also sounds like his wife, well, not sounds like, his wife opened her own business that she's actually very successful with that makes money to support the restaurant that he is running. So she's not only supporting his dream, but trying to support him as well. Right. And he just ignores her.
What did you think her business
was? Shuts and locks the door.
I think it's like jewelry.
I thought it was an Etsy store.
So it looked like that. Yeah.
Well, the other thing too is that, like, I've actually opened 2 restaurants in many years ago.
Wow.
But, you know, the other thing is that as an owner, you hire a general manager. You don't try to do it all because if you're the owner, you're basically just there to be like, oh my God, how was your meal? Like, right. I'm glad you're having a nice time, and like check in and collect the check. And your job is not necessarily to be managing the day-to-day operations because usually you can't do both.
Right.
It kills you.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
And so trying to do both, obviously, he wasn't up to that task.
I literally talk about this all the time, owning a restaurant. If I did it, if I ever decided to open one, I don't think I ever could, just for me personally. But as an owner, I would also think that you're just kind of there for quality control. You go in there and make sure that everything is up to the standards that you want them up to be and that the general manager and the chef and everybody is doing their jobs.
Right. You're the manager of the managers.
Exactly.
But without managers, you can't have a business.
But no, you're right.
It's a problem with a lot of businesses. I haven't worked in restaurants, but I've worked in a lot of other types of businesses. And people, especially when they open their own business or they get promoted to a different level, they're not used to delegating and they're not used to being hands-off. And it kills them. It crushes them to not run that ticket or you know, get the food or something. They want to be active. And by being passive and being an owner and doing what an owner does, they feel like they're doing a bad job because they're not doing what they're used to.
Which, in a sense, is nice that they want to be hands-on, but in another sense, it can just kind of get – they can just kind of get in the way, which we will get to because we see a little bit of that after some of the renovations from Joe. But speaking of getting in the way, we not that he was getting in the way, but it's just hilarious every time he rips off his disguise, Gordon Ramsay, and comes in and he's just like, oh, hello, it's me, it's Gordon Ramsay. And he just walks into the kitchen like he literally owns the restaurant. I love it.
I just kind of wanted to be like a fly on the wall with the customers there, you know? Because what do you think if you're a customer and then all of a sudden Gordon Ramsay's like, okay, everyone put your forks down.
Yeah.
This place sucks and I need you to follow me.
Well, that's the thing.
You know, it's pretty crazy.
It's got to be a mixture of emotions because if it was me, I would say, awesome, that's Gordon Ramsay. And then I would think, damn it, this is the before restaurant. I'm eating in the terrible, gross, horrific restaurant that I shouldn't be eating this food. And then I get really scared.
Do you think any of those people went home and
they're
like,
all
totally
sick.
Like threw up?
Hell yeah.
Like, oh my God, I can't believe I was eating.
I mean, it's possible because if you've seen any of Gordon Ramsay's shows, you see what every single one of those restaurants look like.
That's I mean, disgusting. Maybe, but maybe not. Because as soon as they take him outside, he's like, I want you all to come back tomorrow. And they're like, yeah, Gordon. Gordon, we're coming back tomorrow. I'd be like, I don't think I'm coming back tomorrow, Gordon. I don't know how much you could do, buddy.
You're like, I actually kind of already might have eaten rat droppings, so I'm going to not come back.
Can I go eat on the Hell on Wheels trailer? I'll eat in there with your chefs.
Yeah, that would be actually, that would be a fun. Great business, right?
I wonder if they do that behind the scenes, you know, to butter them up a little.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, we'll cook
or
the meal.
I've often thought maybe Insider, maybe it's more cast.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the patrons are more cast than, to be fair, the restaurant owner knows.
Potentially, yeah.
Stack them up a little bit on reveal day. Yeah. So they could be like, do not eat this food.
Because Hell's Kitchen, they cast for.
Absolutely.
You know, the old show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that makes sense.
The old show's on right now.
Well, I mean, I only know, I'm like, back in the day, I know that they used to.
The original show, the That's OG right. show.
Oh, yes,
the
OG. So good still.
Where it all started.
It's They'd be so like, good. Does anyone want to get dressed up tonight and go to Hell's Kitchen?
That he still yells really a cool. lot.
I mean, I feel like that's because that is a competition show,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So with that one, you have to have him constantly yelling at the people that are competing.
Sure.
Otherwise, it just wouldn't be as fun.
Mm-hmm. But Chef Kennedy sure did give Ramsay a run for his money.
She did. She had a mouth on her.
Yeah, she's strong.
Yeah.
When I first saw her, I was like, oh my God, did she escape from prison?
She's you don't mess with someone with a scorpion tattoo on their face, on their neck face. Right. Yeah.
I did know a guy, family member, who had a scorpion, I'm sorry, not scorpion, a centipede tattooed on his neck. And he, go to jail.
Proven.
If you have a tattoo, that definitely
Kennedy's
came from.
Been to jail. No.
No, but she was.
She's hardcore, and she seems like she really has good intentions. Mm-hmm. I felt great about her right off the bat, and I believed her 100% that Joe was not letting her do what she really wanted to do. However, I will say this, that's no excuse for poor hygiene, poor cleanliness, and et cetera of the kitchen, because even if he's not letting you buy the food that you want and all that kind of stuff, or the menu that you want, you can keep your place in tip-top shape.
Well, and sending stuff out frozen, I mean...
Yeah.
Because I borderline thought when Ramsay brought her over to his kitchen, I was like, I don't think she really knows how to cook because of how stuff was coming out. Mm-hmm. But she obviously proved that she does.
She actually was very talented and very skilled. We'll get to that in a little bit, too. But yeah, and I think a lot of that comes back down to not caring anymore. When you don't take pride in your job and you stop caring, you just kind of let everything go. And that seems to be a running theme with 24 Hours to Hell and Back in general, the first season and this season. Everybody just stops caring.
And once again, that lack of caring goes right back to the owner.
Always.
That's where it stems from.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So finally we get to when they come in and do the renovation. And I will say this, I've seen much worse restaurants with them having to work with. Mm-hmm. Like when you go in, it was a little dark, it was a little dingy, but overall it was still decent. Like you don't walk in going,
ugh. Yeah, it wasn't the worst I've seen.
Yeah.
Right.
So they had a decent, I guess, shell sort of to work with. What did you guys think of the renovation?
I mean, I liked it. I don't know that it was that different, you know? No, I mean, they definitely opened it up a bit more, changed the color scheme. I mean, was it like pea green before?
It was a weird green.
Like a weird,
They brightened it. Got new tables, got rid of the booths.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was nice, which is interesting because I've known from working at restaurants, people love booths.
I like booths.
They like to sit in booths. So every time they get rid of them, I'm always like, oh, okay.
They didn't get rid of all of them.
It is the anti-fine dining seating arrangement, I guess, is a booth.
I think so, too. That's true. Yeah. I liked what they did, and I really liked the cigar box thing. That's kind of cool and something neat to see in an eye catcher. But again, just like we talked about last week, if you're a restaurant owner, here's some helpful tips without having to get on the show. You can get 90% of the way there if you just clean your place up, lighten it up, and maybe, and it doesn't cost a lot of money, to maybe modernize the decor just a little bit. But cleaning up is 80% of the battle. Clean your kitchen, clean the dining room, and then, as I'm sure you're about to get into next, lower the number of items on the menu.
Please.
That's 90% of the way there, right there.
Yes, I agree. You can't have, I'm sorry, did they say it was 92 items?
You're
90. You're 90 not the items. Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. Yes. I think they're the only restaurant that can do that.
We said the same thing last week. It's not the Cheesecake Factory. They're the only ones that can pull that off.
Seriously. And they have like 17 chefs in the back, I'm sure.
So. Oh, yeah.
Here is
and you
Kennedy
know.
And like one other dude who's like, oh.
Who like borderline does not know how to cook.
Because we fired Dad who...
was just
even if he helped a
food.
Little bit. Yeah, he was spitting food. Yeah.
He was prepping and
there's
eating
no
food.
Back there.
He was like the Elmer Fudd of the kitchen.
Right? It was so ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, that's so terrible. Well, and also there were three Joes at this restaurant. The other chef was also Joe.
That's right.
And he was doing the same thing. He was sticking his finger in food and licking it and then like sticking his finger.
Zia, who? Old habits die hard. You gotta taste.
I mean, I know you got to
taste. At least he's tasting.
This is what you do. You get a spoon.
At least he's tasting.
You dip it in.
A spoon.
You taste it.
We don't have money for spoons. We don't have money for spoons. The spoons are just for customers. We don't have that kind of capital.
There's no spoons for the kitchen staff. What are you, crazy? We cook with our hands. We have no utensils.
Yeah, Joe was messing up.
Oh,
all the
he
Joes
was.
Were messing up.
And that's actually funny because he was the one that kept making mistakes. After the renovation, we got into, and speaking of which, I thought the renovation was beautiful. I thought it just really brightened everything up. It made everything look a lot cleaner, a lot nicer. And like you were saying, you can get 80% of the way there yourself. I think another thing that goes a really long way is just new paint.
Yes, absolutely. I was going to say that. Fresh and it doesn't paint cost wonders.
That much. Yeah.
It does not.
This week's renovation was even less than last week.
It was.
It wasn't that drastic. Some different colors, brighter lighting. They took out some booths and replaced them with tables. Even if they didn't take out the booths, probably would have been a dramatic transformation because maybe that you're getting into some money. I'm trying to think of it as people watching this, how could they fix up their restaurant?
Well, and I think, like, I don't know if they have this everywhere, but I know where my mom lives, the Habitat for Humanity restores are amazing, and they have like fixtures and restaurant booths and chairs and, like, you know, everything for plumbing and doors, and it's really cheap.
So you can do a lot of these fixes.
And paint, they even have.
They're paint.
Wow.
If you're a restaurateur, entrepreneur, you could do a lot of these changes on your own unless you're really trying hard to get on Gordon Ramsay's show.
Well, I mean, you know, then you get the real fancy expensive renovation and then you can sell your restaurant.
I've thought multiple times. Have you ever thought of this? Has anybody purposely bought just a flea bag crap restaurant with the idea of how bad can I get it? With it, maybe with a deal with the guy selling it. Like, look, let me buy it. Let's make up some sob story and I'll try to get on some kind of renovation show and then we'll just flip it for a bunch of money.
Wow. That would be diabolical.
I mean it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, you're absolutely right. Because I've definitely seen episodes where you go back and you look and it's like, oh, the owner sold the restaurant.
Right.
Because they're like, we're, you know, $500,000. And speaking of which, they were also $500,000.
I mean, that is just, I don't know. I mean, they obviously probably bought it for like probably at least $250,000 or something. So that's probably half of it. But that is a staggering amount of money to be in debt, especially with a place that like doesn't have that many seats. And like, it's not a bar. So your turnover or your profit from just selling food and like beer and wine is not going to be that much. It's going to take them a long time to get out of debt.
And you're absolutely right. It's not one of those quick turnover places where you're getting rounds and rounds of tables in a night. You're having kind of a longer, people are sitting maybe for an hour or two, especially with how long it took food to come out.
Right.
45 minutes and they didn't have entrees.
Well, and I'm thinking on a normal, on the what would normally be the busiest nights for this kind of restaurant is probably going to be Friday, Saturday, right?
Friday, Saturday,
which would also probably coincide with when the theaters are running. So you're probably working with one main dinner service after people get out of the show. Maybe two, sorry, before the show and after the show. Right. Other than that, people, I don't know that they're venturing down to the theater district that often.
Well, and it also sounds like they've kind of really been revamping the theater district is what they were making it out to be. And I don't know, when you were there, was that a really like popular place for people to go and sort of hang out and walk around, go out to eat?
I never spent much time there. I'm just from relatively close by in Jersey, and I have friends from Allentown, so I was like, oh, Allentown! Like, one of those times you recognize the town.
Yeah.
So I never really hung out there, so I don't know.
Yeah, I was like 12, and I don't mean to offend
you were going out all the time!
I don't mean to offend anyone from Pennsylvania, but Allentown has never been, like, when I was growing up, a very nice town.
Okay.
It was obviously a very industrial town back in the day, and I think in the early, you know, late 80s, early 90s, it was still very much like trying to revive itself. So I'm glad that it's obviously now a lot more up to date than it probably
looked
used
really
to be.
Nice. It looks hopping. Yeah, it looked nice.
It looked really nice. And I think one of the biggest things that when you're trying to renovate or revive an area is restaurants, because people love to go out to eat good food.
Everybody's going to eat, so that's something you can guarantee will bring people in. Not everybody wants to go to a theater show even. So for sure.
Yeah. And so I think that that was, if they can be that happening place, people will go there. Now, whether or not they are that happening place, we will find out later. But I thought the renovation was fantastic. And then their afterwards dinner service. I always look forward to that because that really shows sort of the skill of the chef and how well they're going to do and how smooth the service goes. This was a surprisingly smooth dinner service.
Really smooth.
Yeah.
It was. Yep. Yes.
Really smooth. A couple hiccups with sous chef Joe. I guess sous chef line cook Joe.
Yes.
But nothing that can't be remedied.
Right.
He messed up frying some fish and he did the glove thing. Like, maybe we'll give him like one pass on that. Maybe
he did have a glove on.
He did have a glove, but he licked it. So that kind of negates the glove.
And the one yelling incident. And then Ramsay was like, hey, zip it.
And she got back on track.
Yeah.
She did.
But for the most part, the food came out really great. And nothing got sent back that we saw. And the food blogger or the food critic, as there always is one, no issues with that table.
Yep.
Which is amazing. It was almost kind of like a boring end to the dinner.
Exactly.
So I was like, oh, all right, fine.
Really smooth service.
No drama. Great.
Well, I did find it funny that Joe was kind of like a little, like, you know, a kid in a trapped in a box. Like,
that's kind
I don't
of
know
adorable.
Which way to go.
Yeah. He had no idea what to do with himself.
Yeah.
And he was that, and that was him not being able to relinquish control, which was a major theme of why his restaurant was failing so badly. And you really saw it in this episode. And it is hilarious when he finally steps back and Kennedy's allowed to run her kitchen. How quickly.
Yeah.
She was great. Absolutely.
Food was coming out so fast.
He didn't know what to do and what not to do. And I think finally by the end, he was getting it. And he said this is the first time kind of since he opened, right, that he actually touched tables and talked to people. And just like you said, Zia, that's what you're supposed to be doing as an owner. So he gets to hopefully go back and have fun owning his restaurant and let the people he's put his faith in and hired do their job.
And not be completely hammered by 7:30.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy personality change.
No.
But
no.
Hopefully he's still working on it.
Yeah.
They did show that little 3 months later. And I'm always a little bit wary of that because you can kind of lie about that. You can say, yeah, sure, Everything's great. We don't know if everything is great. But usually if things are not going well, other people in the restaurant would be like, oh, you know, he reverted back to his old ways immediately. He was also, I love to see, letting his wife have a more active role in the restaurant. And she clearly has a successful business. She seemed to really know what she was doing. Yeah. So that was really nice as well.
She seemed very hospitable.
Yeah.
She had a very good role as a general manager, talking to customers, dealing with staff. It's perfect.
Yeah. That was, I think she fit in very well with that. And also the menu, what did you think? I mean, we know before the menu there was 90 items and none of it was great. What did you think of the after menu? It made me hungry.
I was hungry.
I wanted that burger. The burger looked great. The wings looked great. Yeah.
The scallops,
I would get that.
Looked really good. Yeah.
Oh, the fries. Mm-hmm. Seriously, that made me want to, like, how quickly can I run down the street to grab some fries and bring them back before the show starts? Do we have time?
it looked good.
It did.
And it looked like a simple enough menu for them to theoretically carry it forward and do a great job with it in the future.
Yes. And hopefully they did that, but we shall see.
Yes.
which does lead us into our special segment. I think we should start off with the would you try it?
I would try it. Yeah, because I would I kind of want to, like, I'm curious. I'm like, is it still the same? I don't know. And then I would want to see what they have on the menu now, if it's the same. And then definitely order, you know, some of the problem maybe items that they had. So I would try it.
All right.
I'd try it right now, because as we said, Gordon revamped it, so I trust the cleanliness and stuff of it right now. So yeah, I would try it. Same reasons.
Yeah, I think I would too. I'm still trying to, I know we were talking about this before, if there is sort of a scenario where you say, no, I definitely wouldn't try it. So far, not so much, because like you said, you would think that it would still be sort of clean, at least for a little while afterwards. Hopefully they haven't let it go completely down the drain yet. So, yes, I think maybe if there's one restaurant where it's so bad beforehand that you're like, oh, my God, if this is how they treat their kitchen, I'm so terrified to go back, even if Gordon has already been there. But I think with this one, I would want to try the Gordon items on the menu if they're still there, if they kept that menu.
Yeah. And it'd be fun to see them yell at each other.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see Kennedy yell at somebody.
I'd probably try and buy, I know, what was that?
That would actually be fun.
I'll probably try and buy Joe some shots or something.
Yeah.
See if you can get him drunk.
Oh, my God. You could be Gordon Ramsay's secret spy and see if he would take the bait.
Yeah.
And then you find out he's been like 3 months sober going to AA and you give him his first shot.
Oh, you ruined it.
Oh, that'd be so terrible. I shouldn't laugh. That'd be so bad. Yeah. That would actually be kind of great just to meet them as well. And that leads us to our next special segment.
This is my favorite.
I love this part. This is the first thing I do immediately after every one of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike, take it away with some of the more recent Yelp reviews.
So, right, we try to take a look at their Yelp and we try to specifically see reviews post-renovation. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at Yelp. Alice had Google up. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, these at best are mixed, and I actually think they're towards the negative side.
Okay.
There's more negative reviews post-relaunch than there are positive, and one of the big complaints that we see is bad food and too much. And then Alice pulled up their menu.
Yes, and the current menu has They went from 13 burgers down to one, you know, on Ramsay's. Mm-hmm. Now they have 9 burgers back.
And the Come on, guys. Shanty burger, the only burger that Gordon brought back isn't on the menu.
Yes. They got rid of the one burger that he put on the menu in the first place.
To be fair, the Goon burger isn't back either. It's not. So that's positive.
They do have a salad bar, however. And all kinds of sandwiches, and the menu is huge again. It's not maybe as big as it was, but there is a lot of stuff on here that was definitely added. Tacos. A French dip turkey sandwich. A lot of strange things. And Zia and I both know from working in restaurants that it is really important when you make a menu to have a lot of items that are being able to be used on multiple things so that you don't have food spoilage, which we obviously saw in the beginning of tonight's show that they were having a lot of spoiled food and then a lot of things that were just only used on one or two things. And so it looks like they're going back to kind of that kind of menu. Like they have a smoked salmon wrap. There's not salmon on anything.
Oh, you should never eat smoked salmon.
There's a pastrami sandwich. There's
one item.
You know, it's... So I think they could be in trouble here again.
I saw several comments mention basically in different words, I don't know what Gordon did, but it seems like it would be worse. So you could tell that people knew there was going to be a renovation and they probably tried it because of that. And they're super less than impressed.
So I wonder if that has anything to do now with Gordon's menu or just the way they execute it.
Well, it seems like it's execution and then a lack of follow through with what Gordon taught them. Because with this menu, that's crazy. It seems off brand from a fine dining. They're kind of throwing a lot of stuff. This one Yelper here talks about they tried to go to a karaoke night there. So maybe they're trying to bring in some kind of entertainment or something like that. It just doesn't make sense for the brand and what they're trying to portray.
Well, that's the thing that he said when he first went in there is that they don't have an identity. And I think that is so true. And that's why their menu is all over the place. And like with all these different events and now with this new menu, it's like they have pierogies on the menu, which is like, isn't that like a Jewish or like a Polish?
I think that they do serve in a lot of Jewish delis in New York. I've had that.
They're delicious.
They are good.
I know. But it's like, what are you? What are you trying to be here? Yeah. Are you now a Jewish deli?
You sing karaoke. Get blackened scallops and pierogies.
And I saw open mic night when I
open
looked it
mic
up too.
Night. And yeah, you could do your slam poetry. You could do everything. And then, like, none of it.
No, that's crazy. The only time I would ever want, first of all, a big menu that has a lot of various things is at a diner. I feel like those are the only places that can get away with something like that.
Greasy spoon,
exactly. Yes. And a lot of the time when you know you see something with a big menu, like they mentioned in the beginning of the episode, it's going to be frozen food.
Yeah.
Not all of it, but some of it is going to be frozen food. And you got to know, you know, this is going to be frozen. I'm just going to enjoy this because it tastes delicious and they deep fried it. And that's it. But if you're trying to be kind of a fine dining restaurant, what are you doing? That doesn't make any sense. It should all be fresh and made from scratch.
Not at all.
The whole point. That's why I'm spending, you know, $20 a dish.
Well, do you guys think that Joe's gone back to his controlling ways then?
I mean, it sounds like it just from the fact that he went back to his old menu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a feeling this was not Kennedy or whomever chef came on board. If it's not her anymore, I don't think they went and said, cool, let's add back 50 items to thing. I think it's probably Joe, which worries me because I want his wife to step up and put her foot down with that.
Mm-hmm. It was so nice to see her doing more there. And it was nice to see him treating her better.
Yeah.
Because it's really sad when you're in and they'd mentioned that in the episode as well, that it was wearing on their marriage so much so that they didn't know if they were going to be able to stay together. And that's such a heartbreaking thing when you like are with someone for such a long time and you go through a traumatic, you know, sort of experience, I guess, sort of an event when you're going to lose your home or you might lose your home, you might lose your business, you might lose everything. And it tears you apart instead of drawing you closer.
It's so
sad.
Your marriage over a business is really sad. It's preventable.
I mean, it sounds like he should have thrown in the towel or asked for help a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And at least now they know maybe they shouldn't be working together.
Or maybe he shouldn't own a restaurant.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not for him.
I don't know what he did before, like what job he had. I mean, it sounds like he was probably a bartender or something.
That's what it seems like.
Or he was a general manager.
I highly doubt it.
You don't think so?
No.
He didn't seem to have general manager skills. But, I mean, maybe he was just – I've had a lot of bad managers.
He
could have been
a sports bar, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's what – struck me when he said he made people a lot of money. I thought he had something more to do with the running of the business than just being a server or being a bartender. I thought he had some kind of management going on. I don't know.
That could definitely be true. I want to know more about these people's lives.
I know.
We never will.
I, you know what I really want is them to do an after show where they go back and legitimately spend time again with these people and where they're at now and what they're doing.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because we basically are reaching out to Gordon right now. Chef, we will go on location in Allentown, Pennsylvania, we'll do an after show for all of these restaurants straight from the after show.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
And it's completely worthwhile because we're enough months after to see what stuff's really going on, right? Rather than their fake little video follow-up that you can't really trust. And we'll tell it like it is.
Ooh. And until then, we are going to have to wait for the next episode an entire week.
It looks good.
It looks really good.
This, finally, we got an owner who's like, no, I hate you. Are you going to fix it or not? Like, he wants to fight good.
Yeah, because last episode, we didn't see any pushback.
That's right, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
This episode, we didn't see any pushback. Next episode, I'm hoping to see some pushback.
Yep.
So hopefully we get that. We have an entire week to wait to see the next train wreck of a restaurant. I cannot wait. Until then, where can people find you?
Oh, you guys can find me on Twitter at Alice L. Ford and on Instagram and YouTube at Alice's Adventures on Earth.
And I'm Mike Thielen. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thielen.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_Land. It's XIA_Land. And until next time for another episode of 24 Hours to Hell and Back, we will see you all in a week.
Go eat.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.